for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, December the 31st, 1983. New Year's Eve, Watch Night Service. Bob Mixon is the speaker of the evening, concluding with communion service. This is the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas.
It's with those high praises of God in our mouth and the two-edged sword in our hand. We will march right up to the victory, right into Canaan's land. You got it? With those high praises of God in our mouth and the two-edged sword in our hand.
Listen to what you're singing.
We will march right on to the victory, right into Canaan's land. It's with those high praises of God in our mouth and the two-edged sword in our hand. We will march right on to the victor's side, right into Canaan's land. Praise ye the Lord always. Praise ye the Lord always. Praise ye the Lord down in your heart. Praise ye the Lord down in your heart always. Praise ye the Lord always. Praise ye the Lord always. Praise ye the Lord down in your heart. Praise ye the Lord down in your heart always.
With the high praises,
with the high praises of God in our mouth and the two-edged sword in our hand. We will march in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Y'all all know this one.
Glory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you have to quit. When we stand in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of the Lord,
yeah.
Back up,
back
up.
Amen.
For the Lord has given me authority to stomp all over thee. Well, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord,
pack up your weapons and get
your weapons and flee. Get out of here, Satan.
For the Lord has given me authority to step on your head.
Stomp all over.
Listen, that's our enemy doing again. Our brother read us a scripture yesterday in Isaiah in the 14th chapter, and they're going to look down, we're going to look down at the end of the age and see him in his true condition and said, is this the wimp that deceived the nations? This little scum? Is this the one who's caused all the problems? Is this the one who stole our children? Is this the one who brought us into drug abuse and pornography? Is this the one who's crippled the church? This little snake can't do anything. Let's sing that again, and when we do, you tell him. You tell him who you are and who he is. You tell him to get out, amen. Take him, pack up his weapons and go. He's not got any authority in this place. He's not got any authority in our homes. He's not got any authority in our children. He's not got any authority in anything we're doing. Glory. Glory, amen.
I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, pack up your weapons and flee. For the Lord has given me authority.
Somebody open that door. He said, get out. Go open that door. Amen. the name of the Lord.
The Lord, pack up your weapons.
Pick him out.
You get out that door. Oh, heaviness. Oh,
Lord.
Oh, weariness. Oh, fear. You get out that door now, Jesus.
Pick you out the door. Well, I command you, say to me,
in the name of Jesus,
the Lord, pack up your weapons and flee. For the Lord has given me authority.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Glory, glory, glory.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. When we stand in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before us. In the mighty name of
listen, devil,
we have the victory.
Now I command you, devil.
In the name of the Lord, pack up your weapons and flee. For the Lord has given me authority to stomp all over this.
I command you, Satan,
in the name of the Lord,
to pack up your weapons and go.
We'll do a little Bible study here for a minute. Revelations 1 and 6. I basically use the King James Bible. I appreciate it. It's my basis for study. But I don't exactly agree with everything that is so exactly the way it is. There's some things that are a little bit wrong. And when I find those things, I like to correct them. Some of the other translations are right, and then they're wrong in something else. Basically, I take the King James. But when I find a mistake in the King James, then I take my pen or pencil and I mark it out and I change it so it reads correctly. And Revelations 1:6 reads in the King James. Now, some of you have got some other translations and they read correctly. They will read the correct way. But I'll read 1 and 6 here as it is in the King James. Then we'll read it the way it's supposed to be, the way the original says it. It says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God, and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I say amen and amen. But the original does not read that way. The original reads, and hath made us a kingdom of priests unto God and his Father. And that makes a whole lot of difference. Because I hear people going around saying, I'm going to be a king. I'm going to be a king. No, you are not going to be a king. Crowns of all kings and all authorities and dominions will be laid at the feet of Jesus.
Yes,
Jesus is king. He is King of kings, Lord of lords. We are becoming a kingdom, a priesthood unto the Lord, though. He is separating, what was it, Brother Parrish has been teaching us? Okay? That elite, elect, that is a separated people, a kingdom of a priesthood that the Lord is separating unto himself. It's the priesthood and the elect, in my opinion, that this here are both the same company. I may be wrong, but that's my understanding. That's the way I view it. That this kingdom of the priesthood that the Lord is speaking of here are the overcomers. This priesthood. They're the separated ones. They are his who will be those who rule and reign and have the authority and the dominion that is brought forth with a rod of iron and ruled by this word to bring the nations into subjection unto the Lord Jesus. But that kingdom of priests will be those who administer that authority and law. And that's what he's calling for. Okay, so I do not agree with the King James. And I do not agree when I hear people say that I'm going to be a king. Or we're going to be a king and priest. No, we are going to be a kingdom. And we are becoming a kingdom of priests. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 19. This only appears four times in the Bible. If you've got a Thompson Chain Bible, you'll find that on page 75. 73 in the New King James. Verse 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. We are a covenant people. And those who are and those who enter into this priesthood will be those who keep the covenant of the Lord to the very nth degree as best they can. We are all sinners,
And nobody except Jesus has ever kept the covenant to the letter of the law. But the Lord has given us a way that by grace, when we sin or err in the keeping of the covenant, that we come and say, Father, forgive me. I thank you for Jesus, for he is my covering and the perpetuation of my error. And through him, I'm back in your grace. Because I confess that I've erred, and I come back under the covenant and into the covenant. Then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. That's the covenant people, those who desire and strive to keep the covenant. And this book is the covenant through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me, King James reads right here, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And now let's turn over to 1 Peter. I think that's page 242. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Correct translation of the original Greek. Now let's turn back on over to Revelation chapter 5. Okay, I'm going to read two verses here. I'm going to read 9 and 10. They both go together. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Dominion and power and authority unto he who is worthy. Jesus is his name. Hallelujah. But I read that correctly and not as it is in the King James. In the King James, that is a mistranslation. And it reads that we shall be kings and priests. If your Bible reads that way, why, scratch it out and change it to read a kingdom of priests. If you want to know if it's right or not, get your Greek, literal Greek, look it up, and you will find that in there it tells you that it should say a kingdom of priests and not kings. Well, that's our little Bible study that goes along with that. But I like to have it right. I don't declare that we're going to be kings. I declare that we are a kingdom of priests. Yes. Jesus is king. Yes. And I get perturbed when I hear people make the remark that I'm going to be a king or I'm a king. No, Jesus is king. Amen.
Amen.
Praise you. Lord, I thank you for the liberty we have in this country, Lord, that we can come together without fear and without shame, that we can lift up holy hands and exalt the name of Jesus. Father, that we can boldly say, even from this place, Jesus is Lord over our president and our Congress. Jesus is Lord over our judicial system. Jesus is Lord over our police departments and our marshals and our sheriffs. Jesus is Lord over our military. That by the anointing of your Spirit, Lord, you would cause that to be a living reality, Lord, in every area of government, in every area of this nation. That the Lordship of Jesus would be exercised for a special boldness upon the hearts of your people, Lord, that you've scattered throughout our government, Lord, that you would cause them to rise up in strength and in boldness and boldly declare the word of the Lord. Yes. Father, your word says that you remove the wicked and then the righteous come shining forth. For there to be a removal, Lord, of those wicked men that will not bow unto you. Mm-hmm. For there to be a removal, Lord, of those that would not hearken unto your voice. Lord Jesus, we declare that you are the mighty God and you rule and reign in the affairs of men. And Father, we intercede in that vein and in that direction. Father, we ask that you rule and reign in the affairs of this nation. Father, any area of this country that is not going according to your timetable and according to your schedule and according to your good pleasure, Father, we ask that you do whatever's needed to uproot and to remove that which would be an abomination unto you. And Father, that you bring forth, your righteous seed in this place. Father, we thank you for it. Lord, we pray for our pastors and our evangelists and apostles and prophets. And we pray for the eldership and the leadership and the psalmists and the musicians, Lord. They're also in authority. We ask by the anointing of your Spirit that you loose upon them supernatural revelation and wisdom, Lord, that they'd be able to see their inheritance in you. Lord, I come against those wicked lying spirits, Lord. They're even this hour seeking to wreck the homes and the reputations, Lord, of your men and women in service. And Father, we ask by the anointing of your Spirit that you bring forth your glory within and upon them. Lord, in the earth, Lord, we pray for there to be a fresh flow of the revival fire of God. Father, that our hearts might be broken before you, that our spirit, man, may be stirred before you. Father, that we might realize not only who we are, but who we can be. Lord, that we might see even this day that which you've set for us to do. Father, strengthen our hands for war. Teach our fingers to fight, Father, that we might be those that would go forth boldly in the name of the Lord. Father, I pray for our brothers and our sisters as they travel to and from this place. And Father, we ask that you set your angels round about them. Lord, you said that your angel camps round about them that fear you. Father, we bind any calamity. Lord, we bind any destruction, Lord, that the enemy would try to bring upon them. And we declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper.
Amen.
Lord, for any evil plans that the enemy has tried to bring forth upon these, your children, Lord, we declare that it shall return unto him, Lord, that you loose upon these that are here and these that come in, Lord, a tenderness before you. Lord, that through the remainder of this camp meeting, we give you glory for what you've done. But Lord, for the remainder of this camp meeting, let us continue to have a sensitivity to your spirit. Let us continue to have a oneness of spirit.
Yeah.
Father, even this hour, I come against any strife that would try to move among us.
Yeah.
I declare in the name of Jesus, you're not going to find a foothold. Wicked one, you have nothing in us. You have nothing in us. You have nothing in us because Jesus is Lord over this place, and he's Lord over this meeting. He's Lord over this ministry, and he's Lord over this people. Lord, that we're going to see mighty things take place in our nation and in these meetings, Lord, because we've prayed and because we've interceded. Father, we thank you that we see in your word, Lord, that our prayers and our praises come before your throne as incense, Father. And as they come up before you, that there's earthquakes and there's lightnings and there's thunderings and there's voices and there's rollings and there's angelic moves, Lord, because we stood and we've prayed unto you. And Father, it's not how well we prayed, but it's, Lord, that's your purpose and that's your plan. As our intercession comes before you, Lord, we believe that you're moving, Lord, to bring forth your desire even this hour, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We believe in praying over prayer calls. We have sent out hundreds and hundreds of prayer calls across the nation, and there's been several that have asked for some prayer calls. And I'm going to anoint this packet of prayer calls with oil, pray over them, and we're going to pass them down. Don't anybody take any. Just pass them down, and everybody take them and pray over them. And Sister Badgett, we are coming to the bottom of the barrel of them. And we need some more. Okay. I'm just reminding you, she is our faithful prayer call supplier. And she has supplied us with hundreds and hundreds of them. And we have sent them across the nation and other parts of the earth as well. And we believe that God honors our prayers. And we have many, many testimonies of miraculous restorations and deliverances and healings from these prayer calls have been pinned on to people or put under their pillow or put somewhere around them. And we believe that the Word tells us that evil spirits will go, that restoration and healing will come because of our belief that the Spirit of the Lord flows through these and the power of the Spirit comes out from them and drives out evil spirits and brings healing and restoration because of our faithfulness to just obey. These will be pass down through you and just keep them going until you get clear through and keep them as long as the Lord lays on you to pray over them. The anointing rests on you and then hand them to the next person, and when they get back to me, I'll have them here, and then you can come, those of you who would like one, then can come and take one from here to take. Father, we anoint these with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we believe that your word gives us authority to do that. We believe that your word tells us that through these prayer calls there shall come healing and restoration and deliverance. Because the Spirit of the living God, by laying on of hands and holding in our hands and on our persons, that your Spirit will enter into them and follow them and go with them, and that there will be authority there and will drive out the powers of Satan and set the captives free and will bring healing to those who are in need of healing and restoration to those who need restoration. And we thank you, Father, because your word says that, and I believe it to be so. Therefore, I do as your word instructs us to do. And I do that in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Satan, I adjure you in the name of the Lord, wherever one of these prayer calls go, that I take an authority over your spirits of sickness and disease or whatever it is, every infirmity, every mental problem, I take authority over in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I adjure you in the name of the Lord Jesus that you have to go. I set the captive free. I speak restoration and healing to the physical body, and in the name of the Lord Jesus, by his stripes, that healing shall come to the physical body in the name of the Lord Jesus, and there shall be health given to all their flesh. Amen.
And I thank you for it because it is written, and I say unto Satan, and I say before this company of people and unto the Lord, that your word says it is written, and therefore we declare it to be so, for it is sealed throughout the eons of eternity
that your word is the word of the living God, and it cannot lie and cannot fail. And we decree it that it shall be so as to follow these prayer calls and to bring that which is needed wherever they are and to whoever they're sent or given. And I thank you for it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praying over those, I thought of something. And it's another thing. It's a thing of tradition. And very common in the Pentecostal areas. I don't know about other denominations, but in the Pentecostal area, it's very common. And it is unscriptural, but the Lord has honored it in our ignorance. But I'm going to try and help you, so if you're doing it, you'll not be ignorant anymore and not do it. But I thank the Lord that He has honored it. I plead the blood. That's unscriptural, no basis for it, and it's erroneous. In fact, it's almost blasphemy. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was given freely on the cross. It's a gift, just as the Holy Spirit is a gift, but it is the greatest gift of all. And we do not plead for a gift. It is given unto us. The Lord has been gracious, and He has honored our ignorance. And I was born and raised hearing plead the blood. And my mother, yet to this day, does it. Bless her heart, even though I've told her. But it's just ingrained in her in tradition to where she can't get it washed out of her. But if you do that, ask the Lord to forgive you of it and change. Now, I'll tell you what's correct. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. We'll use scriptures to substantiate what. And I'm not going to say. I never say that the scriptures I use are conclusive. Because there are many, many scriptures and. And if you use them all for certain topics, well, you'd stay here all day. So I just pick out basic scriptures, and if there are others, that's fine. But Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 8. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood of sprinkling. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1 and 2. Elect, there we are again, elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have scriptural basis for saying that I sprinkle with the blood. I sprinkle the blood over my household. I sprinkle the blood over the head of somebody when you're praying for them and the demons don't like it. I sprinkle the blood on them. I sprinkle the blood of the Lord Jesus. He has scriptural basis to sprinkle with blood. Okay, let's turn to Exodus chapter 12. In times past, the Lord has winked at our ignorance, but we're coming to a time when we know better and do it, we're held accountable for it. Let's be scriptural. Let's be able to say, it is written, and then not be it twisted like Satan twisted it to Jesus, but let it be, thus saith the Lord. Page 84. Okay. Mine says 66. Oh, boy. Verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike or apply it on the two side posts of the upper door posts of the house. We have a scripture to apply the blood of the Lord Jesus. Apply it to the doorpost of your house. Lay your hand on somebody's head and say, I apply the blood of the Lord Jesus. We have a scriptural basis to sprinkle. We have a scriptural basis to apply the blood of the Lord Jesus. Psalms 32. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite Egypt. Lord, I thank you for smiting all the Egypt that's in all of us. Amen. Psalms 32 and verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Not are. Not was, not will be, but is, ever continuing, is forgiven. Whose sin is ever continuing, continuous, covered. Hallelujah. Never to be uncovered again. Continuously covered. As far as the east is from the west, depths of the deepest sea, covered. Psalms 85, verse 2. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, thou hast covered all their sins. Romans 4, verse 7. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Praise the Lord. So we have scripture for covering with the blood. Revelation 7, 14. So you know what that is already. Don't have to read it. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, verse 14. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes, hallelujah, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 1 and 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Praise the name of the Lord. So we have scriptural basis to sprinkle, to apply, to cover, and to wash with the blood. There may be others. I won't say there's not, but I can substantiate those. But when we say that we plead the blood, why, there we have no scriptural basis to do, because that is a freely given, and we don't have to plead for it. It's a gift given unto us by Jesus' sacrifice. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen.
Father, we submit ourselves unto you. Lord, our desire tonight is that we might come into your presence, that we might come as vessels and instruments of your praise and of your worship. Father, our desire tonight is that we might partake of you, that we might partake of your nature and of your being. Lord Jesus, we give you ourselves and we give you this time. And Lord, that everything is done, that you would cause there to be revelation and there would be an anointing, Lord, of release and of healing upon us tonight. Father, we just give this time unto you and we look to you, Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If you know this song, let's sing it. If you don't listen to the words, let the Lord minister to you through them.
I am covered over with a robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus, and he lives in me. Oh, what a joy it is to know my Heavenly Father loves me so. He gives to me my Jesus, and when he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. We are covered over with a robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. We are covered over with a robe of righteousness, and he lives in me. Oh, what a joy it is to know my Heavenly Father loves me so. He gives to me my Jesus, and when he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus.
Father, we thank you tonight for the blood of the Lamb. We thank you that by the blood of Jesus we can come into your throne room and we can come into your presence. Father, we give ourselves unto you and we give ourselves to the ministry of your Spirit. Lord, we ask by the anointing that you bring forth within your word, Lord, that which would heal, that which would cut, that which would bind up, Lord, that which would bring forth a fresh relief, a release of your life within us even this night. Father, we give ourselves to you and we look to you. And Lord Jesus, just cause there to be revelation upon us tonight, Father, as we come unto you and as we come together to partake of this, Father. We look to you and we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We've got a 4 at the beginning, in verse 23, but we're going to have to leave it. I'll read the whole chapter. Paul has been talking to the Corinthian church, and he said, when you come together to partake of the Lord's Supper, one man gets drunk and another one eats too much. Another one goes home hungry, and I'm not bragging on you, he said. He said, you've missed the whole point. And then he begins verse 23 with this 4. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The word received is paralambano, the Greek word meaning to receive by intimate revelation. Paul said, the Lord clearly spoke to me and gave me definite revelation about what happened to him on that night. And that is the revelation I tried to impart unto you. Beloved, that's the attitude that we need. We don't need to come as form and as some dead tradition. But we need a fresh and a living revelation of the cross. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. You don't have to turn there. You can. Paul said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us that are saved, it's the power of God. The same message, the same word, in one is bringing forth death, and in another is bringing forth life. The difference is the attitude and the revelation. Skip down to verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11. I'm sorry, verse 27. I want to deal with this and then we'll go back. We want to look at the blood and examine what the Lord's done. Verse 27, wherefore whosoever eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. The word unworthily means to treat as common. Let me give you a little background on communion and maybe we can arrive at something. I don't know what your tradition is. I don't know what your past was. The Catholic Church at the time of the 1400s and the 1500s when the Reformation began to take place believed in something, and they still do, but part of the Reformation was about something called transubstantiation. Now, what that means is that the Catholic Church believed that when they partook of communion, that the showbread and the fruit of the vine literally became the body and blood of Jesus. And they crucified him every week. That's what the Mass was. They were going through the same blood sacrifice again. And then the Protestants came along and they said, no, that's not so. It's just a symbol. It's just a form. Both are wrong. The showbread and the juice are showbread and juice, but by faith, they become the body and blood of the Lord. Because God didn't give us dead forms. He delivered us from that. He would certainly not institute something as a basis for healing and fellowship in His church that was dead forms. So as we come tonight, we need to come with that in mind. Because to take this and treat it as common, as a form, is to bring the curse of the law upon us. To receive it as it is to bring the blessing of the covenant upon us. Or let a man examine himself, verse 28. But notice what he says next. And so let him eat and drink. Beloved, when any of us examine ourselves in light of the cross, we're going to all find out we're unworthy. Somebody hear me. The foot of the cross is the true unity. Because that's where we all belong. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. I studied nearly a year and a half in the tabernacle of Moses, and there's such a picture of going on with God, going on into the presence. But the one thing about the tabernacle is from the front door into the Holy of Holies, the blood was sprinkled, the cleansing blood. The more I go on with God, the more acutely aware I become of my need for His grace and mercy. When I first got saved, I was a little bit aware of my need for His grace and mercy. But the more I grow up and get religious, and God begins to be deeper and deeper and deeper in my life, the more I realize, oh Lord, if Thou should mark iniquity, who could stand? If it was a covenant based upon anything but Him, there'd be no hope. Yes, let a man examine himself in light of Jesus. But when he's found lacking, let him partake. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. The word judge there means decide and discern in the first one. If we should discern and take action, we'd not be condemned. But when we are condemned, we're corrected of the Lord. That we should not be sentenced with the world. The showbread, we'll look at a little closer later. In the beginning of the Passover feast, I want you to notice the showbread is striped in the fire. And it's been pierced. In the tabernacle, one of the other renderings for showbread was called the bread of His presence. And it was broken. Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there am I, present in the midst of them. You see, if it's just you and the Lord, There's not much need for healing. But whenever there's two or more, he's got to be broken to bring us together. Many are sick and dying because they can't see the Lord's body. Look around. Look around. And discern the Lord's body. It's here among us. If you would turn to Matthew, but it's my firm conviction that absolutely everything that happened to Jesus from that Passover supper until he cried, "It is finished," was done as a substitutionary atonement for you and I. I believe every word spoken, every circumstance, everything that happened to him happened for you and I. And we want to examine them. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 17. Excuse me, verse 20. 26:20. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dips his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, that is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man that he had never been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said." And the betrayal began. If there's one thing that I've had the hardest time with as a Christian, it's that betrayal always comes from brothers and from sisters. He said it in Psalms. He said, "If it had been mine enemy, I could have taken it. But it was my own dear friend. We broke bread together and went into the house of the Lord, and he lifted up his heel against me." And the betrayal began. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it. Let's skip. We're going to come back to this. Verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, "All of you shall be offended because of me this night. For it's written, I'll smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I'm risen again, I'll go before you unto Galilee." Jesus answered and said unto, Peter answered and said unto him, "Listen, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." And likewise said all his disciples. And Peter meant it. He meant it. He said, "Lord, I don't care if everybody else fails you. If everybody else loses out, I'm going to be faithful unto death." And Jesus said, "Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times." In John's account, he turned right around and said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Listen to me, we've all been Peter. And we've all said, "Lord, if all men be offended, yet not I." But the Lord took that upon himself. And he turned to Peter and said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it weren't so, I would have told you." Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, the wine press. And he saith unto his disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "O Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will." You know, it says in Isaiah that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. All us hotshot charismatics came along and read that in the Hebrew and says, well, that means that he bore our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yeah, it means that, but he also means he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Somebody listen to me. There's times when the will of God is going to cause you to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. There's going to be times when you go to your friends and you say, "Pray with me. Just stand with me through this," and everybody goes to sleep on you. There are going to be times in your life to where you're facing the hardest pressing times of your life, and there's nobody there. Paul said, "I went to Rome and all men forsook me."
but the Lord stood by my side. Because he took it upon himself in that garden. I used to always say, Jesus loved me so much, he went to the cross. But in this time, in the garden, it wasn't love for me that took Jesus through that. It was love for his Father. He said, Father, this is overpowering. He could see his destiny to become the sin sacrifice. He could see the sin and the guilt and the shame of all mankind coming upon him. And he said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But he said, Father, I love you too much to get out of your will. Listen, beloved, it doesn't mean we won't go through the circumstances. But it does mean we won't go through them alone. Because he took it upon himself for us. And he came unto the disciples and he found them sleeping. One of the other translations says that they were sleeping for sorrow. Depression. Jesus even took their depressions with him. Glory to God. And he found them asleep. And he said unto Peter, why couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again in the second time, and he prayed, and he said, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and he went away again, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then came he to his disciples, and he said unto them, Sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spoke, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with a great multitude, with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. John 18:4 says, When they came into the garden, Jesus said, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, Verily I say unto you, I am. And they all fell backward under the power of God. They began to rise to their feet. And he said, I said, Who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I'm he. Let the sheep go. The friend came to betray him with a kiss. And they were going to take him. But the dignity of God was upon him. No man took him. He chose to go. No man took him. He chose. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, that's Peter, drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote the ear. I think it's Luke says, and Jesus healed him. I can just see it. Peter cut his ear off and the Lord just reached out and picked up that ear and put it back on. He said, Peter, that sword's not going to protect you. It'll kill you. Hello. You aren't going to be able to protect yourself. You aren't going to be able to defend yourself. And the Lord knew it. And he bore it upon his shoulders. He said, I'm the I am. And I'm the one you're looking for. But I'm doing this alone. They brought false accusations against him in verse 61. And Jesus took that. Hello, church. I said there's going to be times in your life when they're going to accuse you. There's going to be times in your life when they're going to talk about you. There's going to be times in your life when they're going to look for anybody they can get to say a word against you. But the Lord Jesus took it upon himself. Hello. Listen to me tonight. I don't know of anyone who's not had some experience in conflict, some more than others, but so many of God's saints have been crushed because they've been spoken against. Let the Lord heal you from that crushing tonight. He took it upon himself. They lied against him, and he opened not his mouth. Verse 65, Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He's spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? And they answered and said, He's guilty of death.
And then they covered his head, Luke says, and they spit upon his face, and they buffeted him with their hands and smote him with the palms of their hands and began to say, prophesy, thou Christ. Who hit you? Isaiah says his visage, his countenance, his face was so marred he didn't look human. As those big Roman soldiers began to buffet him about the face. And then they covered him and threw him into darkness and they hit him some more. And then they said, now you tell us who did it. Because the Lord knew what the adversary was going to try to do to you and I. When he spit in our face and buffeted us and threw us into darkness and then began to hit us some more. And Jesus atoned. Jesus atoned. He paid for it. We can rise out of that.
Skip to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24. Let me encourage you in your own time. Go back and read every detail. And get you a parallel of the Gospels. Read every detail that he went through from the time that he took his supper with the disciples to the time that he cried, it's finished, on the cross. And see how much more healing there is in there for you. I'm trying to hit the major points so that we can move on. Verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And they answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. When they had scourged him, scourging was something that most men didn't live through. The Romans scourged the Jews, only scourged for one reason, and that was heresy. 39 stripes. And they tied him across a whipping post and they took a Roman scourge. It was a whip with many ends. With broken bone and sharpened metal. And they began to plow deep. The psalmist said, the plowman made deep his furrows. And they began to lay him open from the shoulders to the loin.
39 stripes for heresy. And in the Christian world today, it's heresy to believe in the 39 stripes. It had nothing to do with sin. It had nothing to do with any kind of atonement for anything you or I do. It was for one thing and one thing only. To heal our bodies. How dare some religious system say that God doesn't heal. How dare some demon of doubt say God won't heal you? When it's paid for in the blood. And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of the soldiers, and they stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. Those pictures make me sick. With a little headband and a few little trickles of blood. They platted, they braided, they wove a crown of thorns, and they placed it on his scalp. And they took a rod and they beat it upon him. The precious blood began to pour so that you and I can have the mind of Christ. So that you and I can be free from torment. So that you and I can have the blood to battle in the battleground of the mind. And they bowed their knee before him. And they mocked, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, exposing the stripes to bleed again. For you and I who've been healed and lost it. Somebody hear me.
that when you and I received our healing from God, and somewhere down the line, we got whipped out of it. They opened the stripes again. And they put his own raiment on him, and they led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross, and they were come to a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. Roman crucifixion was normal. It was a normal, everyday way of execution. And the crosses that we see are nothing compared. They aren't even like that. They had tree trunks that were sawed off and notched all over that hill. And the cross that the man was compelled to bear was the crossbar that they were going to throw up on there. And most of them died of suffocation. They were tied to the crossbar. They were thrown across there. They were forced to hold themselves up with their legs. That's why when the other prisoners weren't dead, they broke their legs, and therefore their diaphragm was crushed under the weight of their own hanging body, and they suffocated. And they gave Jesus his crossbar to carry. And he lost so much blood at the whipping post that they compelled a black man named Simon of Cyrene to carry it. And when they got him up there, they took a large spike and they nailed right here in the juncture of the wrist. Anybody can see a nail through the center of the hand wouldn't hold any weight. There's nothing there to hold to. The Greek word for hand includes the forearm, right in the center of the wrist, at the juncture of the bones where all the arteries are, and they nailed a large spike. In the Messianic Psalm, David said, "All my bones are out of joint." I believe they nailed him, and they grabbed his arm, and they pulled until they ripped both his arms out of joint and nailed the other one back down. As a picture to the weight of sin. And those precious hands, the blood began to flow. To buy the right for you and I to lift holy hands to God. Holy hands to God. To buy the right for you and I to lay hands on the sick. To sanctify ours. And they crossed his feet and they nailed them. And the blood began to flow from those precious feet. Isaiah said, "How lovely on the mountains are the feet of them who bring good news." Glory. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And they threw him upon the cross. And they stripped him naked for the world to see. The shame. And they offered him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. That was a painkiller. And he refused it. Because he bore the impact. And they crucified him and they parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him. And they set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Luke says it was written in Greek and Hebrew and Latin. All the languages of the known world. The enemy thought he was mocking. But God even used that king to tell the world. And there were two thieves crucified with him, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. And as they passed by, they reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "O thou that destroys the temple and builds it again in 3 days, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocked him and the scribes and the elders and said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let God deliver him now, if he'll have him. For he said, I'm the Son of God." And the thieves also which were crucified the same, cast the same in his teeth. One of them later turned around. Now from the sixth hour, that's noon, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, that's 3 p.m. From noon until 3 o'clock, it was as dark as midnight. And I don't believe it was because God was displeased. Jesus became the sin offering on that cross. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Him. I believe hanging there upon that cross from the sixth to the ninth hour, He became the sin sacrifice. I believe when He became the sin sacrifice, every devil, every demon, every vile fallen angel tormented Him. Every spirit of perversity and guilt and shame and depression. The full impact of sin. And even the Holy God. Couldn't look upon sin. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That's written in Aramaic, but it's real interesting what He said. King James says, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But it's more than that. He used the name El. I call Him Lord. I call Him Jesus. But I never call Him God. And Jesus used the Creator name, not even the covenant name, not even Father. He said, "Elohim, why hast thou forsaken me?" Elohim, Elohim, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there when they heard that said, "This man calls for Elijah." And straightway one of them took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, soured wine, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, "Don't even give him that. Let him be. Let's see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He cried with a loud voice, "It is finished. It is paid for. It is accomplished." And He gave up the ghost. And at that moment, in the Holy of Holies, in the temple that Herod built, the high priest had his knife plunging it into the sacrificial lamb, and that 60-foot veil was rent from the top to the bottom, and God said, "That's finished. The sacrifice is finished." And the earth began to quake, and the graves began to open. And on the third day, the living Jesus took the living blood before the living God. And He sprinkled it for you and me. We're here to show forth His death and to preach the cross, but not without understanding that that blood's alive. And it's sprinkled on the mercy seat of God. And it's crying forgiveness for you and me. That broken body, striped in the furnace of affliction and pierced, rose from the dead. Jesus of Nazareth, the man, is seated at the right hand of God. We're not here tonight to look back and say, "Wasn't it an awful sacrifice?" We're here tonight to partake of the benefits of all that He paid for us. At the end of the Passover, at the beginning of the Passover, the showbread was broken. There's three loaves of showbread used, and they're folded up so that there's three separate chambers and they don't touch. Three. The middle one's broken, and it's buried in the napkin and not taken out till the end of the feast. There's four cups, three up and one over, one upside down. Three. But the fourth cup's the cup of the Messiah. Yeah. Not to be turned over until Elijah's come. At the end of the feast, the youngest member of the family in the Passover would go and look out the door to see if Elijah was come yet. And he'd come back and say, no, he's not come yet. So they wouldn't turn over this cup, and they'd say next year in Jerusalem. But on this night, when supper was completed, he reached in that napkin and he said, this is my body, which has been broken for you. And he took that fourth cup and he turned it over and he filled it with wine. And he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. And he said, I won't drink any more of it until I feast with you. We're not here to mourn. We're here to receive. If there's sickness in your body tonight, your sickness was healed in those stripes. And as we partake, you partake healing under your body. Kathy and I were in San Angelo, Texas, and we took communion, and we told the people, we said, some of y'all are going to get healed while we're taking this. And we all partook together, and then afterward, the sister came up and asked for prayer. She had a twisted spine, and it caused one leg wasn't longer than the other, but her back was twisted, and she walked as if one was, and she caused her a lot of pain, and it had always been that way. And she sat down in a chair, and she just began to tell me about 5 or 10 minutes of all how long she had had it and how bad it was, and all the while I was trying to get those legs to look crooked. And she just kept talking, and I said, sister, are you sure? And she looked down and began to weep. The instant she partook of his broken body, she was healed. And it's not only your body, it's his body. We have the inability. We are not able. We are not able as men in the old man to flow in his unity. But his body's broken. Was broken. So that it doesn't have to be now. If there's schism between you and a brother or sister, as you partake of this, you partake healing. If there's sin in your life, this blood says that sin's cleansed and atoned for. Receive your forgiveness and your release. Your deliverance, whatever it is that's had you bound. The blood of the Lamb's more than enough. I'm going to ask you to do something. If you're here tonight and you don't want to partake with us, you don't feel that you should, I want you to come up anyway and stand with us. Because I don't want you to be obvious, and I don't want everybody to look at you, and I don't want anybody into peer pressure. When the showbread comes by, you just pass it on by. Nobody's going to be looking at you. When the cups comes by, you just take it and pass it right on by. Nobody's going to be paying attention. But I want us all to come and gather together and receive together. And please, that's the only sacrifice he made. There is nothing that you need that wasn't taken care of then. Sickness, infirmity, being bound, needing deliverance, whatever it is, it was all paid for in that. And we can receive together. I'm going to ask everybody to come. We're going to pray together and partake together. pass all the bread around first. Just break it and pass it on. Break it and pass it straight back. Break it and pass it over. As we receive of this, if you need healing in your body or if you need to be healed in his body, put it upon the showbread. As a release of your faith, as a point of contact, place it upon it. And you're going to trade that sickness for healing as you partake. Division for unity. The Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, holy God, creator of the heaven and earth, O thou that bringeth forth bread from the earth, we thank you. We thank you for bringing forth Jesus, the true bread. We thank you for bringing forth Jesus, the bread from heaven. We thank you for bringing forth Jesus, the one of whom if we eat this bread we'll never hunger again. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving your body to be striped and pierced and broken for us. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you atone for all of our sicknesses, all our infirmities, all our griefs and our sorrows. Lord, all of the rifts and the schisms between one another, Lord Jesus, you paid for all of that. And Lord, as we receive of this broken bread tonight, we receive healing, we receive health, and we receive life. We thank you, we bless you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. O holy God, creator of heaven and earth, O thou that bringest forth fruit on the vine, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus, the true vine. We thank you for Jesus, the vine in whom we have life. We thank you for Jesus, the vine of which we're branches. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb that cleanses from all sin and defilement. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb which brings forth liberty and release from all bondage. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb which has made us able to be partakers. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb that's counted us worthy to be in your kingdom. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb which cleanses from sin. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving yourself freely to be our sacrifice, to be our sin sacrifice. Lord, you said if we'd confess our sin, that you are faithful, just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us. Lord, remove us from every stain of unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, we place our sin and our bondage and our shame. And Lord, as we partake of this cup, as we partake of your shed blood tonight, Lord Jesus, we partake afresh of the mercy and the cleansing and the delivering power of God. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. And he said, this is the cup of the new covenant, my blood which is shed for you. Yando soko bobo bobo riti akarando toto yeki. Yo toku sora bobo bobo riti. Hika soro boto toro babakakoro toki. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
For yea, I would say that I have gave every drop of my blood for every man. I gave every drop of blood, my blood,
yes,
for every man. I gave every drop of blood, my blood, for every man. And if I gave every drop of my blood for every man, what brought me forth from the grave? My spirit. And if my spirit dwelleth in you, it will make alive thy mortal body this night.
Yes.
Saith God.
Yes. Yes. Yes, thank you for the living blood. Thank you for the living blood. Thank you for the living blood, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the resurrection blood and the resurrection body. Lord Jesus, thank you.
Thank you that your broken body's alive within us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that your body's alive within us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that that blood is alive and it speaks. It speaks, Lord. It speaks. It speaks, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. We worship you. 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 Is the cup in back there? That's all right. That's all right. Just so it's been back there. Glory to God. We worship you, oh, holy Lord. Oh, mighty God. Oh, mighty God. Oh, mighty God. Father, you declared Jesus was the firstborn with power when you raised him from the dead. Lord Jesus, I thank you that he's alive. That he's alive, that he's alive forevermore. Oh, Jesus, he's alive. Lord, as we go into this year, he's alive. As we go into this year, he's alive. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. It's a new hour. Lord, it's a new move. It's a new wave. It's a new outpouring of your glory, Lord. It's a brand new day, a new beginning. A new beginning, Lord, from the blood. A new beginning, Lord. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ukasato ribidikita sobo. Roti akala rebabo soto riti akala rebakuro. Father, the curse is broken. The curse is broken, Lord. We've been released. The snare is broken and we have escaped. The snare is broken and we have escaped, Lord. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. That at the time past you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye, who were sometimes far off, are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, and so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. By this act he made utterly irrelevant the antagonism between them. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together as a habitation of God through the Spirit. Beloved, we're a habitation of God. We're a habitation of God. We're a habitation of God. Through the Spirit, we're a habitation of God. He broke down all the wall, he removed every obstacle, and he said, come. And we've come. And now we're one. Not just one with each other, but we're one with him. We're one with him.
We're one with him. He's alive forevermore. He's alive forevermore. Never to die again. Glory to God. Never to die again. Never to die again. Let's worship him. Let's worship him. Let's worship him. Let's worship him.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.